Well, Merry Christmas. What a greeting, huh? But I got better news. It's the glorious gospel of the grace of God. So take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Timothy to start tonight. Chapter 1. Better news than Merry Christmas. It's a full gospel from the birth to the inheritance. And it says in 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I've read this verse to you, I think, every week for a while now. Start in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the time of the ages, the world began, time of the ages. The only hope for mankind is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's our hope. He accomplished our redemption, our salvation, and our glorification. And there's no hope apart from him. Take your Bibles, look at 2 Thessalonians. Back up a few books. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we read in verse, pick it up in 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to what? To salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. To what end? To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? He called us to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. What a gospel. God chose us to be a first fruit of salvation by the sanctification of the Spirit and your believing of the truth. You will obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born again of the Spirit from God, so we've entered the kingdom of God. And every time you choose to speak in tongues, you're manifesting the proof that you're a child of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ of the coming glory of God. Isn't that wonderful? Take a look over at Romans. We're going to read several places in Romans here. But look in Romans 8. Every week we go to Romans 8, don't we? It says verse 16. Back it up to 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received, lambanoed, the spirit of sonship. It's euthesia, which means to place as a son. In the Old Testament, they were placed as sons by adoption. But Jesus Christ said you must be born again if you're to enter the kingdom of God. So we are born again. So this here, we have manifested, received into manifestation the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Father, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, our inner being, that we're what? The children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with what? Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified, how? Together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. What a wonderful revelation. We will obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any question in your mind, then learn how to manifest the Holy Spirit. Because that manifestation of the Spirit is God's Spirit witnessing to your inner being of these truths. We have the proof of the written word. We have the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul and others. And we have the manifestation of the Spirit that confirms it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The glorious gospel of the grace of God. Just amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says verse 16, for which cause our hope, the return of Christ, we faint not, we're not discouraged, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look at that. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And the man who said this was the Apostle Paul, who had been stoned, who had been whipped, who had been imprisoned, who was in dangers and perils often. Light afflictions, he says. Isn't that amazing? So the hope can live so big for you that these other things seem insignificant. And thank God we have not had to endure those things in our nation during our lifetimes for the most part. God has shown us wonderful grace. Look at Romans chapter 5. There are not many people around the world that could say the same thing. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You are today justified before God. You are today at peace with God. You are today given access into this grace in which we stand. And you can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Look at verse 5. And hope makes not ashamed. In the Working Translation, this is translated, hope does not disgrace by disappointed expectations. Hope does not disgrace by disappointed expectations. Because the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the gift, the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. You have the gift of Holy Spirit. And every believer has the potential to operate 9 manifestations of that Spirit for godly profit. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended, he showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, how much so? We were dead in sin. Christ died for us. Much more then, being what? Now justified by his blood, not by ours. We didn't have to shed it. We're justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. And if you don't know what wrath is, let's read a verse or two about it. It's speaking about the wrath of God. Go to Zephaniah, Old Testament, Zephaniah, Nahum, Zephaniah, Zephaniah chapter 1, and in verse 14, we'll start there. The great day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is the day of God Almighty. It's the day of his judgment. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Verse 15, that day is a day of wrath. The day of the Lord is a day of wrath. It's the wrath of God. It's a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to save them in the day of the Lord's what? Wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Woohoo! Well, the day of the Lord is the day of his judgment against the ungodly, those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and his extension of his divine favor toward them in Christ. They've rejected the glorious gospel of the grace of God. Well, his patience is going to run out. Look at Amos. Back up a few books. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Zephaniah. Back up and go to Amos. Amos, book of Amos. Let's start in chapter 5. This is the day of the Lord's wrath, the wrath of God. 5:18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, As for a man, as if a man did flee from a lion, bear met him, or went into the house, and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? Boy, it's going to be quite a day. We could spend a week on the scriptures dealing with the day of the Lord's wrath. Most of the book of Revelation deals with it because it's about the Lord's day. That's right. In there are seven trumpets that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. In our weekend, we'll get through all of this subject. Through the first four trumpets, a quarter of the population of the earth will die. In the fifth trumpet, there are going to be spirit beings released from the abyss and are going to torment men for 5 months. They're going to pray to die, but they won't be able to. They'll be locusts like scorpions, and they'll be tormented for 5 months. Then, in the sixth trumpet, horsemen from the Euphrates are going to kill a third of the part of the men of the earth. People talk about, blood moons. They have no idea of the wrath of God when it's poured out and the devastation that it's going to be. Then you get to the seventh trumpet, and the seventh trumpet is the third woe, I believe, and it has seven vials or bowls that are poured out of the wrath of God. It will not be a fun time. By the chapter 18, Babylon will be utterly destroyed. And they're going to see things like sores on those who have the mark of the beast. They're going to see every living soul in the sea die. They're going to see the rivers and fountains becoming like blood. They're going to see the sun scorch with great heat and fire. And darkness and pain will be in the kingdom of the beast. And the Euphrates will be dried up, for the way of the kings of the east will be coming to do battle. There'll be four war fronts. There'll be a northern war front that will be Armageddon, if I recall. Then there will be a battle for Jerusalem with the beast. There will be another one down in Basra, another army fighting down there. That's south of the Dead Sea and to the west a little bit. And then you're going to have the kings from the south come up and the kings from the east come up. And it's all going to converge there around Jerusalem. It says they're going to be 200 miles from these battles. 200 miles that are going to have blood up to the horse bridles. It's going to be quite a time. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. How thankful we should be. How just so very thankful. Go back to Romans 5. People just read over wrath of God and they have no idea. What I've read you just skims the surface. This wrath of God could last a year. It's called the year of vengeance in Isaiah 34:8. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. You know, when you put the Old Testament prophets Then what the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Gospels, he organized it and put it in order. And then you go to the book of Revelation, you have, and read the verses in the New Testament as well. You have a pretty good picture of these future events that are going to happen on the earth after the gathering together of the saints. It says in chapter 5 of Romans, verse 8, God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified today by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And it's speaking of being saved or delivered from the wrath to come. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The word atonement should be reconciliation. We have the joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been delivered for the wrath to come. It says this three times in the New Testament. You can look them up. One is in here in 5:9. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, well, let's look it up. Might as well read it to you. Well, let's look in 1 Thessalonians 1 first. And it says, verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from what? The wrath to come. Chapter 5. Excuse me, I got the hiccups. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Isn't that wonderful? Take a look at Romans 8 again. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. How wonderful is that? Oh, boy. I tell you, you read those verses in the Old Testament, you got the, you ran from the bear and you ran into a lion, and then you go into the house and stick your hand in a serpent and bite you on a wall. What a picture, huh? Wow. And we're not talking about zoo animals either. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Look at that grace. He determined beforehand that we would be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he determined these things beforehand, predestinated. Them he also, what? He called. And whom he called, them he also, what? He justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. He speaks of this future event of our glorification as though it has already occurred. It is so certain. It's an exchange of parts. It puts the the future in the past tense, heterosis, an exchange of tenses in this case. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. The Father freely gives us all things with the Son. Well, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's talking about legal charges. Who's going to lay any legal charges against us? God that justifies? Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Well, the short answer is nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in all these things it talks about, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. What a tremendous truth. These things are true today. You're more than a conqueror today through him that loved you. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the glorious gospel of the grace of God. Instead of going through the wrath of God, we have peace with God. We're justified in his sight. We've got access. We stand in this grace and in hope of the glory of receiving the glory of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what our day is all about. The times in which we live are the times of the grace of God and the mystery. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The context is talking about over sin and death. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking about the gathering together, when God sends his Son to gather us to meet him. The dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and those of us who are mortal will take on immortality. More mortal means that we're subject to death, every last one of us. But when Christ comes, for the living ones that remain, they will be changed from mortal to immortal. If we have fallen asleep before then the dead in Christ are going to rise, and the corruptible will put on incorruption. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the victory over sin and death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, there it is again, the Lord Jesus Christ himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is our hope. He's the one that gave his life for us so that we could be reconciled to God, redeemed, and given salvation. He is the one. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is our hope. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Our hope is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no hope apart from him. Let's pick it up in 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord, what? Himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who's going to perform this? The Lord himself. He speaks the word, and the dead in Christ come forth at his word, and they come forth incorruptible. They rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, where? In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When Christ comes for the church, he will come to glorify us. There won't be any bear chasing us, or a lion, or a serpent. It won't be a day of darkness. It won't be a day of wrath and gloominess and darkness. It won't be a day when the heavens are rolled up like a scroll and the sun does not give its light, or the earth reels out of its course, out of its orbit. Can you imagine? It won't be a day when the mountains and the islands are removed. Oh my gosh. We ought to be so thankful. The Lord himself, he's the one that's going to descend from heaven with a shout of command. I don't know what it'll be. Get up. Come forth. What do you say to Lazarus? Come forth. And he had already been embalmed. He'd been dead for 3 days and nights. They'd already used that about 100 pounds worth of grave wrappings to entomb him. Come forth. And he did. It doesn't matter what the command is. When he gives it, the dead in Christ are going to rise. And those of us who remain are going to be changed. And we will always be with the Lord from that point forward. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what we ought to do. We ought to comfort one another with these words. Oh, look at Philippians 3. This is the glorious gospel of the grace of God. Philippians 3, when he comes, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. He's going to transform it. Today we have mortal bodies that will corrupt. When he returns, it calls them vile bodies. It's a body of humiliation because it's subject to death. He's going to change that body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. His glorious body. His glorious body doesn't die anymore. It has everlasting life. So will ours. He will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Glorious bodies just like his. What'll happen after that? We're gathered up into the air to meet him in the cloud. Then what? We get these glorious bodies when we get up. Look at Romans 14. Verse 7. For none of us live to himself, and no man dies to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are what? The Lord's. As a matter of fact, we're members of his body. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Take a look at 2 Corinthians. This speaks of it as well. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 9. Well, look at verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor. The word is philotomeomai, and it means we make it a point of honor that whether present or absent, we may be well-pleasing, is the text, well-pleasing of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it's good or bad, worthless of any reward. Look at 1 Corinthians. This also speaks of this. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 8, now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own what? Reward according to his own labor, his own work. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each or every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's what? Work, of what sort it is. If any man's what? Work abide, if it endures, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. There's no reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Nothing will ever change our salvation. This judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, is for rewards. And everything that we build on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be rewarded for. Verse 16, know you not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We ought to have great reverence for the things of God and for the people of God. If any man defile, verse 17, the temple of God, him ought to be, his work shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. It just told us that the man himself would be saved, but his work, he would suffer loss because there'd be no reward. This is the judgment seat of Christ. The gospel of the grace of God, this glorious gospel of the grace of God, is set forth in Ephesians, another aspect of it. In chapter 1. And I want you to watch this, because everything that God has done for the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 2, we see that he does for us. So it says in 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he, what? Raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, world is age, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Even you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of living, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That wrath we read about earlier. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Look at that. That's the glorious gospel of the grace of God. Our hope in Christ is described as the day of our redemption in Ephesians 4:30, I think it is. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ. It's described as fullness of joy, as the day of our salvation, the day of our rest, of eternal life, of glorious new bodies, of fullness of joy. It's a hope of glory. And our rewards are for faithful service and so much more. We have a hope of glory. Isn't that wonderful? I'll say it is. Look at Colossians chapter 1. And these are just some of the verses. You could read all of Romans, Ephesians, Thessalonians, and all the books of the church epistles. Verse 12, Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, it means competent, competent for a part or a share in the inheritance, made us competent to be partakers of the inheritance of the holy ones in the light, who God hath delivered us from what? The power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, how loving our God is. How wonderful he is toward us. How good he is toward us. Today we have the partial reality, and we will have the full reality when Christ returns to gather us together. Look at 126. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at Romans 16. I wish I could do a better job of just putting this all together, tying it all together, because all of this is part of the glorious gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25, Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, that's the Gentiles, for the obedience of faith. Look at 1 Timothy. This is the glorious gospel of the grace of God that's been committed to our trust. 1 Timothy. It was given to the Apostle Paul, and he's made it known for our administration of the grace of God and the mystery. Verse 11, 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Wow. It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's so good. It's so beyond the realm of human thinking that he would make us alive together with Christ, that he would raise us up together with Christ and cause us to sit together in the heavenly realm in Christ, so that in the coming ages he can display the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's the glorious gospel of the grace of God. We have it all, dearly beloved. We have it all. There's nothing that God has overlooked, and he has freely given it all to us with his beloved Son. We will be conformed to his image as our brother, not only as our Lord, but our brother in the household of God, as citizens of the heavenly realm. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. And in verse 4, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patient and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope gives us endurance, patient endurance, to be able to continue to stand in our times. And all those records in the Word, they lend to our patience and comfort of the Scriptures so that we can have hope. Verse 13, now the God of the hope, the article is in the Greek, setting it apart from any other hope as one of a kind, the God of the hope, fill you with all joy and peace in the believing, the right way of believing. The article is present again. That you may abound in the hope. The article is present again. Through the power of or from the Holy Spirit, God. Be the genitive of origin in this case. The God of the hope fill you with all what? Joy and peace in believing. And the word filled there is plerao, filled to capacity. God our Father wants us to be completely filled with all joy and peace in the right way of believing so that we can abound in the hope through the power from the Holy Spirit. Look at that. Regardless of what we face today, regardless of the trials, the temptations, the persecutions, the afflictions, and so on, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The God of the hope fill you to the very full, completely fill you with all joy. It just needs to bubble up and effervesce in your heart. And peace, no more strife. You're at peace with God and His Son Jesus Christ and with one another. We have joy and peace in the right way of believing. When we know what God's Word says, rightly divided, we have joy and peace, and we're completely filled with it so that we can abound in the reality of the hope that is coming. It shall be as God has spoken. Every jot and tittle will be fulfilled, and not a word will fall to the ground. We have the certainty of the hope through the power from the Holy Spirit. This is the glorious gospel of the grace of God. Father, thank you for the night, for your goodness, your love, your wonderful mercy towards us. Thank you for all that you have prepared ahead of time for those who believe in your wonderful Son and that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers, that you are present with us day by day as we contend in this life. And thank you for establishing our lives with signs, miracles, and wonders following, Father, because we love you and we thank you for all that you've done in Christ. Thank you, Father, for that day of salvation, that it comes quickly. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, watch over your people this week, Father. Heal your people, comfort your people, prosper your people according to your word. And we're so thankful, Father, that it shall be as you have spoken. I thank you for all of these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Good night and God bless you. I love you. You're wonderful. Have a great week.